You're listening to the Homegrown Faith Podcast. I'm Jo Clark, and I'm chatting with my fellow pastor and friend, Richard Sweatman, about God, the Bible, and life lived growing our faith in Jesus. This podcast is coming to you from Hunter Bible Church in Newcastle.
Hey there, Jo. Great to be chatting with you again. How are you doing?
I am well, thank you, Richard Sweatman. How are you?
Yeah, no, good. So what have you been up to?
Well, I went for a jaunt to Queensland for the weekend. It was a special birthday for my mum. And so my siblings and I and my nieces and nephews all got together with my mum to celebrate. And it was
up to Queensland.
So good.
I know you love heading up. You're comfortable on the
road.
I
do. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I flew this time, two flights either way, but just because it's a quick trip. But there were some massive highlights, of course, just celebrating my mum. She's such a gift from God to me and our family and loves Jesus and shows us that. And it was a bit of a moment to remember my dad, which was great. My sister-in-law made an amazing video with stories from different people who all her siblings and my nieces and my cousins, sorry. But there were some really good ones, like Adelaide, my niece. She's young. She's about 9. And I decided we should play Memory. And I thought, I'll have to go easy on Adelaide and Archer. She absolutely owned me every single time, even when I was trying really hard.
Oh, how good. How old is she?
She's about 9.
That was the best.
And then Sienna, while we were playing Memory, was being so cheeky and trying to cheat. It was hilarious. And then in the sand pit with all my nieces and nephews, I'm like, if the sand pit's there, I'm going to get in there with them. Like, I love that.
Oh, it's so long since I've been in the sand pit.
Oh, man, you need to get in there. It was fun. At one point we found a frog and I was concerned for its life and safety because there was so much enjoyment of this frog Ewan was carrying around. Yeah. Bonnie made the most amazing castles. Yeah, Archer and Ada and Henry were all there. It was just amazing. And so, yeah, that was such a gift from God, that time together with
them. Yeah, so it sounds like you're happy to say goodbye to the adults for a little while and jump in and get involved with the kids there.
Definitely. Like, Archer would be running around like with some water, giving her a water. Ewan was trying to organize us. Bonnie was just happy to be there. She's quite young. And Henry was doing his own thing. Ada was busy joining me, making my castle. Like, it was just this lovely, relaxed playtime. And there's nothing better than that in my world when it comes to spending time with my nieces and nephews. Like, as they grow older, I want to have great chats about Jesus with them and know them as, you know, in their maturing hearts and minds. But when they're little, they're just playing with them. It's just so special. So,
Oh, that's great. I think because your experience in church, you know what it is to see kids grow through different life stages and ages. Yeah. You've seen kids become adults. So
you
can picture things a bit.
And, you know, I don't get to see them that often. So when I see them, it's just so precious. And, my siblings, of course, as well. But that time, that'll be my memory, one of my main memories for the weekend. So.
Well, I'm so glad you got to head up there for birthday celebrations and, nieces and nephews' time. That's awesome.
Oh, it was the best. What about you, mate? What have you been up to?
Well, I thought I'd share a little update on, the sport as, it's winter soccer season now.
Yep.
And the interesting thing this year, we're all, back again, but I've changed soccer formation, the team formation on the field, Joe. We've stuck with we had a 4-3-3 for quite a few years now, and I'll just roll ahead, Joe. I may not explain everything, but
I have no idea what you're talking about. But
four in the back, three in the midfield, three out the front, and that's been a steady sort of easy to understand thing. But this year with the 15, 16-year-olds, they might be up for something a bit more challenging, and I'm a bit keen to get people running around some more. So after a chat with Dave Allen, our soccer-obsessed colleague on the staff team here, we've moved to a 3-4-3, Joe.
Oh, you've changed.
So, yes, we've got a back three, but then two centre backs, two sort of defensive centre backs, and then the interesting thing is two wing backs, Joe. Ooh. Those of those four midfielders, two of those are wing backs. So that means their job is to fly up and down, back and forth on the wings, covering all that detail. Covering back in defense and then rushing forward with attack.
Nice.
So hopefully I've got two fit, tired boys running back and forth, subbing on and off as they do that wing back role.
Uh-huh.
And then the three guys up front, maybe with a slightly with the number 10 slaps playing back from the other two, feeding attacking opportunities through.
Okay.
So, yeah, this is unusual for me to put that much thought into some tactics. And the update is game one was a disaster. They were all over the place. Didn't help that I was away. We recovered. I even bought like a whiteboard with magnets and everything. So you've got arrows and...
That's so good.
And I think they're catching on. I think it's actually working. So
that's so good.
The team has lost more than we've won, but there are kids running up and down, looking, getting exhausted, getting involved. And so there we are, Joe, a slight tactical change to a 3-4-3, or you could even say a 3-4-1-2.
Oh, that's four layers. So here's my question, because I went to my nephew's footy game on the weekend, rugby league game, because we're in the country in Queensland, so we play rugby league out there. So I went to his game and I noticed the coaches were quite directive, like, give the ball to such and such and blah, blah, blah. Now, this was under eights.
Yeah.
But how directive are you from the sideline? Like, are you shouting things like, you're in the wrong spot, move forward, or push up, press up? Like, what are you,
I have to confess I am, Joe. I need to dial that back, to be honest. I've been doing a bit too much yelling.
Okay.
It's very hard not to yell once you get invested.
You're invested, yeah. You're wanting them to get the vision of if they stand in the right spot, the game will go better.
Yeah. I don't think it makes a difference whether I yell at them or not. So I need to dial it back, and they'll be the calm coach that gives a clear message at halftime. But it's a good question to ask of anyone involved in kids' sport, Joe. Yeah.
Well, these dads were actually doing a really good job. So I had a really positive experience because they were using their directions to affirm and to kind of guide, like, if you move forward, the play will go better. Like, pass it to this person. Like, it was actually really good.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like, fix this all the time. Yeah. Like, it was really quite affirming.
So. Oh, that's good to hear. Rugby league coaching in Queensland going well.
Anyway, on to more important things. That was fun to talk about. All the best to Andy's team, of course. Your team as well, but Andy's team. what have you been reading in the Bible, mate?
Well, I've been going slowly through Matthew 6 recently and was reflecting on verses 16 to 17 today in my quiet time. And that was, I'll read that out, Matthew 6:16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
Mm.
Now, I am not like a fasting person. Whether you're into fasting or not, that's probably a separate thing to what I was thinking about this morning. But what I was thinking was that fasting here in this context, it's a sign of like a devotion to God or sacrifice to God.
Mm.
I felt a little bit rebuked by that. So I think as Christians, or especially Christians in ministry, there are times when we do make sacrifices.
Hmm.
We do work hard. We get by to be less sleep. We have a bit more people time than we can handle. We are coming and going and so on. I think that the temptation is there for us and for me certainly to let people know just how much of a sacrifice I'm making. subtly, but maybe just let them know, don't hold back on the weariness and the tiredness or look a bit disheveled or drop little hints. And I'm not saying you have to put on a show or you can't be real with people or you can't be honest. I think I'm a big believer in honesty, integrity and sharing. But I think there's a place here for us in ministry or in life, in Christian life to not be looking for any, not open the door to sort of self-pity or look at me, notice what I'm going through. So, the Bible's calling on us here to maintain our regular appearance and be more concerned about the praise of our Heavenly Father rather than, the attention from others.
And is it so comforting in verse 18 that the Father who is unseen sees what's done in secret? And so,
yeah.
The reward's a great thing, but actually it's what's the relationship we have? It's that we can't see our Father, but He sees our hearts. He sees what we're doing, and we can be comforted by that. And yeah. I don't know if I've, I can't remember the last time I've said, well, God sees what I'm doing, but I could, you know, that's a good, it's a good thing to be able to say, like,
yeah, and
I guess that would sober me as well. Cause I'm like, yeah, God can actually see Joe.
Yes. I think that's a legitimate, application. To take comfort in the recognition or praise or knowledge, just even fatherly knowledge of God. And that can help guard us from, looking to get the attention of others. Yeah.
Hey, random question.
Yeah.
When it says put oil on your head and wash your face.
Yeah.
Oil on your head. I've never noticed that. What's going on there?
I think the word says just kind of anoint your head. I would take that as just normal grooming.
Okay.
I don't use any product on my hair, but
you don't get into the gel.
I haven't no gel, no mousse, no powder, none of those products. But
okay,
I take the principle behind this rather than a literal command for Brill cream or anything. The principle of personal grooming. So
Okay. I've got it. Oh, of course. That makes more sense. Because I think I just was reading it as like the kingly anointing, and I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Got it.
I don't think we need to do that. So that's me, Matthew 6, enjoying it. Always new stuff as you go through slowly. But you, Joe, what are you reading and thinking about at the moment?
Well, like you, love to read books with people I'm pastoring and trying to train and encourage. And so we've got Harvest Program here at HBC training leaders around church. And I'm reading The Pastor's Wife by Gloria Fuhrman with a woman who I'm training who is a pastor's wife. And so
that's so good.
Yeah, it's a short and snappy book. First thing I want to say is I listened to it for free as a borrowed book on the Hoopla app. I'm not sure if all of our regional libraries can do this, but my Lake Macquarie Library allowed me to download the Hoopla app, sign in with my library membership, and it has a bunch of the Crossway authors on there. So like Don Carson, John Piper, this lady Gloria Fuhrman, like a bunch of people like that. So not all of their catalogue by any means, but this is a game changer to be able to borrow Christian books.
That's
Christian
a great tip.
Yeah, so Hoopla, Hoopla, check it out, see if you can get it from your local library and ask them if you can't, because apparently it's a big thing in the US and it's emerging in Australia. Anyway, so I downloaded it from Hoopla for free, borrowed it, listened to it this morning in one sitting, and of course I was listening to it for my friend, and so I thought this will be great for my friend and it'll help me pastor my friend. No, totally rebuked, because Gloria Fuhrman, she writes this book and she starts with this overt she's got a goal, which is to help you know your identity in Christ and to know that you're designed to be obsessed and love and have joy in the glory of God, not in your own servanthood. Mm. And so actually then after setting up helping you to correct identity in Christ and to serve for the glory of God, she actually calls pastors' wives, and I think anyone reading would be able to be called in this way, to serve at great cost to oneself. And so in this book, it was, so serve your husband. And it's really creative. She gets 1 Timothy 3, so the elder, one of the passages about elders and what character traits and what conduct the elders are meant to show.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, how as a wife are you helping your husband to be this character, this man, this elder? And I've never, ever gone through a passage like that passage like that. I've always either applied it to the person or to myself as a leader. And so to think, oh, how am I helping the elders in our church be this? And so for me, the main application would be prayer. But for a pastor's wife, there's a lot there that is really good.
Mm.
And so there's just this one quote I think she essentially is engaging with this idea of we serve and we use our gifts to serve Jesus. And that might be to help our husbands serve Jesus too. And so she says this, we're not to focus on the gifts themselves, in our service, our focus is to be on Christ. When our focus is on the one who empowers us, enables us, and provides opportunities in which we may usefully serve him, we can see the strategic way that God chooses to leverage our weaknesses to give him glory. Mm-hmm. And so she moves from this 1 Timothy 3 passage to saying, maybe you're feeling like you're always the one helping. And who's going to help you? And I felt that tension as I was reading it. I was like, if I serve all this way, I'm going to really struggle. Like, that's going to be really hard. And she says, well, yeah, that's actually, God uses our weaknesses to bring himself glory. He will provide for you in your weakness and your struggles, but also he has good works prepared in advance for you to do. They're gifts he's given you. Use them for his glory.
Yeah.
And so quite a book of exhortation, actually. Not heaps of stories. There are some stories in there, but it's not just a big story fest.
Yeah.
And so I would recommend it, actually. It's not everything is gold. Every book, you know, is like that. But I found it really quite a word of exhortation. And I found if I knew someone who's a pastor's wife, I would read this. Like this, anyone who knows who's a pastor's wife. And it really made me think, how am I praying for Jen, and how am I praying for the other women in our staff team and encouraging them in their role? So, yeah, it was good.
Wow. Well, that's great to hear a strong recommendation for a book that is very relevant for a lot of people.
Yeah. Very readable, 3.5 hours.
And very readable, 3.5 hours. And, great that you were able to get encouragement and challenge and exhortation from that book as well. So
Yeah. Definitely, it made me think after a sermon or a Bible talk or prayer for the elders in our church and the leaders in our church, do I think only about me, or do I think about the pastor's wives and how I might, if I'm talking to them after the sermon, what they thought and how can I encourage them in their role as a pastor's wife, as well as the pastors in our church and elders in our church? Yeah, it broadened it for me. That was good.
Fantastic. So what was that book, name and author again?
Ooh, let me remind myself. It's The Pastor's Wife. That's pretty obvious. The Pastor's Wife by Gloria Fairman. It's got a longer subtitle, but I forget what that is.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, we're out of time, Jo, but that has been great chatting with you about your Queensland family adventures, soccer formations, Matthew 6, fasting, and The Pastor's Wife. So, it's been good.
Good. And if anyone wants to get in touch with us, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at homegrownfaith@hunterbiblechurch.org. We would love to hear any word of encouragement, or if you've got any questions, or if you'd like to share a book with us that we could read, why not get in touch? We'd love to hear from you.
And so we'll look forward to chatting again next week. Thanks, Jo.
Sounds good, mate. See ya.
Bye.